Awesome. Well, we're back. We're back for another episode of Drunk Poet Society. I'm Taylor.
I'm Felice.
And we're doing the last book of our spooky occult October.
Spooky-tober.
Spooktober.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel haunted. Do you feel haunted?
You know, it's pretty spooky, you know, our last conversation about Dracula.
Yeah. I was reading this before bed one night, and there was one scene where I was like, I feel like I should read a little bit more before I go to sleep. Like, I don't think that I'm actually scared, but yeah. I should probably just read a little bit more.
I read a good portion of this book. And oh yeah, just to preface, it has been a little bit of time since I read this book, and I tried to refresh my memory on, like, character names and stuff like that. I loved this book, and I read it when... it hasn't been that long, but I was a counselor at a camp, so we were in cabins, and it was kind of like in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have cell service, and there was snow on the ground, just to kind of set the mood, and I was, like, responsible for all these young people, and I was reading this haunted house book, and I was just like, oh my god.
if that wasn't enough of an intro, this week we are reading The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Yes, we are. So if you have seen the TV series and thought, oh, let's listen to this podcast, the only familiarity you're going to hear are the names of the characters.
And Hill House.
And I consider Hill House,
Hill House is a character.
Hill House is a character.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Make sure my mic's, sorry, I dropped my mic. I think we're still good.
There is another film iteration of Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
And I only know that because I downloaded the audiobook from the library and it had a picture of, like, I want to say, like, Michael Douglas or someone that was in it. I'm probably very wrong. But they have another movie that they made in the 90s, I think.
Of The Haunting. The Haunting of Hill House. Yeah.
Just called, The Haunting.
I'm just checking. that one's called The Haunting. And apparently that one was, a little better than the...
Oh, as far as, like, comparing it to the book?
To the actual book, yes. Another cool thing about this book, I'm sure if people have heard this before, if you're kind of into the book world, but Stephen King, pretty much calls The Haunting of Hill House one of the finest horror novels of the late 20th century. He's a very big fan of Shirley Jackson.
Well, and I was particularly interested before I started reading it as to when the author wrote it. Mm-hmm. So I saw that it was 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, that's a really great segue, I was looking at 1950s cocktails.
There you go. Great segue.
Oh, yeah. So the cocktail that we're drinking today is very different from our last cocktail. No more... This is not a shot.
Thank God.
It is... we are drinking a gin gimlet. It's nice. Actually a lavender gin gimlet. Because instead of just regular simple, I just whipped up. I mean, it honestly takes like 4 minutes. I made some lavender simple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make the lavender simple syrup, I made a really small batch. I did 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of water, about a teaspoon of dried culinary grade lavender. You could probably use essential oils, but mm-hmm. it might be a little bit different. Basically, you just heat it up on the stove until all the sugar dissolves, and then you strain out the lavender. Sometimes if you leave it for longer, it makes a really nice purpley color. This time it did not. So in order to make the cocktail, I put, is it an ounce and a half? That's the big side of the jigger. Or is that 2 ounces? Whatever it is. I have a jigger that has a small side and a big side. So I'm going to use that. I gave each of us one big jigger of gin.
Mm-hmm.
And for this gin, I actually use, it's a gift from my cousin who lives in Sweden, and it's called I'm going to say this so wrong. Hven. It's just Hven. Some kind of Swedish gin. Didn't know the Swedes made gin, but you know, they're brilliant at everything, so they probably
I didn't know the Irish made gin until Dingle. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's good gin, too. I'm going to say it's 2 ounces of gin. For each of us, I gave just under half an ounce of lime juice, fresh lime juice, and between the two of us, 1/2 ounce of the lavender simple syrup.
Nice.
Just because neither of us like really sweet cocktails, but you got to kind of balance out the tart and the lime.
Yeah.
So we are calling this Journey's End.
Yeah.
Because how many times did I have to read that line? Journey's End and Lover's Meeting.
Cheers.
Cheers. I
Oh, yeah. That is so much better than Shlivovitz. Yeah.
Super fresh on your brain.
Yeah, I'm really excited to review that cocktail. But Haunting of Hill House. Like I said, I read it in a very creepy setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it mostly at night because that's when I was not counseling a bunch of young people.
Sure.
So it was definitely had a creepy vibe to it. Before even getting into like synopsis and stuff, I think what I liked about this is it wasn't like outright horror or gore. It wasn't jump scares.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've been hearing, because I was like kind of reading some reviews and like, you know, even like Goodreads reviews and stuff like that. It's terror in the sense of it is kind of more psychological, you know, it's building up, it's things
it's
that
the terror
could happen.
And the waiting. What? Yeah. Something's going to happen. When is it going to happen?
Yeah. And you know that they're in a not safe place like that. That's what your mind knows. So when there's not much happening, you're just kind of like sitting on the edge of your seat for so long, just mm-hmm. thinking like, when is it going to happen? And I think that's what made
the anticipation.
Yeah. This book. So, captivating for
yeah.
me. Yeah.
I don't enjoy being scared. I'll start with that. I'm not the person that goes to Fright Fest or Universal Horror Nights or Haunted Hayrides. That's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to the scary movies or watch them because no. The reason I picked up, not necessarily the book, but the series,
mm-hmm.
is because it was... My husband was like, just give it one episode. Like, it's more about the family than it is about any of the scary things.
Totally.
And I was so drawn in by the relationships between everyone and the really cool, like, parallels in the plots that... And luckily, as far as the TV show is concerned, it's, like, the same scary thing over and over. Like, it's not new scary stuff every
yeah.
episode. It's, like, a reoccurring scary thing. So I was yeah. kind of okay with that. So when I picked this up and you had kind of forewarned me that it was going to be different... Like, okay, cool, I
yeah.
can get that. It starts off so ominous with all of the doors constantly being closed all the time
mm-hmm.
that I was just thinking, no. It's not that I'm not claustrophobic, but if you can't see other places in the house at any given time, like, it's just too much anticipation
yeah.
of, like, what's going to be behind that. I did not like that.
Yeah, that was cool, the whole, like, architecture. It was built on angles, and so everyone just believed, like, oh, because of the wind or because of the whatever, doors just closed and they wouldn't stay open. But then even there was that whole scene where they were walking around, like, putting chairs in doors and, you know, trying
they
to make
were
sure
they always back exactly
yeah.
where they were.
I think another cool thing about... like I said, there's not too much similar between the series and the book,
mm-hmm.
but I think one thing that the series did really well is they also took that same kind of effect of terror, and they didn't rely on jump scares much at all. They did have some, you know, quick
yeah.
cuts, and they had
sure.
a couple of, like, scary, ghosty things, but it's not the same as if you're watching a scary movie, like a, whatever, Hereditary,
Strangers.
Yeah.
That's the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Hush. Any of those,
mm-hmm.
you know. They definitely relied on the dynamics of the relationship. I think, and if you haven't seen the series, I'm not going to, like, spoil anything big, but... I wasn't going to spoil anything about the show, but the one
yeah.
Thing... It's just that it plays on a lot of... undertones of, like, horror things, and I don't even know if that's, like, the right wording I'm trying to describe, but, you know, there's hidden ghosts throughout the
mm-hmm.
whole thing. They're not right in your face, and even a lot of the terror is brought on by themselves, you know, you find that out about a lot of the creepy things, or
oh, yeah.
they brought it on themselves.
It's all psychological.
Yeah, so that's kind of one thing that mirrored the book a bit for me, and
mm-hmm.
I watched the series and then read the book, and I appreciated them both for very different reasons.
Yeah. Do you want to do a synopsis of this one?
Yeah. And
do you want me to do a synopsis?
Well, you might have to help
one?
Me out a little bit
okay.
with this one. I know that there's Daunter. Oh my God. I'm already slurring my words. Dr. Montague.
Yes.
He is putting together a ragtag team of individuals to go. And it's funny because he's very scientific
mm-hmm.
in his approach. He wants to prove that paranormal things exist, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And so he sends out these letters, and...
Because it's in the 1950s, and
yeah.
they send out letters.
And only two people respond, which is
yeah.
Theodora, Theo, and Eleanor. Mm-hmm. And which those names are the names in the show.
Theo and Nellie.
Yeah. And so they respond for different reasons to come participate. And basically the way that the doctor is going to scientifically prove that there's paranormal activity is like, let's go stay in a haunted house.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure out how to record this data. But
you really get inside Eleanor's head a lot at the beginning. So, I mean, that's really the plot. Like, they all go to stay in the haunted house along with the home's owner's nephew, Luke.
Again, they wanted someone from the family or the state there.
Yeah. And you've got the Dudleys who take care of the property. Mm-hmm. You don't really ever see Mr. Dudley, but you see Mrs. Dudley a bunch. But at the beginning of the book, so, I mean, I guess that kind of just is the synopsis.
Like, yeah.
The rest is just what happens when they're there. But at the beginning of the book, you really, you get to know Eleanor more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's by design. Like, essentially, if I were to have to choose a main character of this book, it would be Eleanor.
Is this, like, written as, like a single person omniscient type of narrator?
Yeah. Because I would say, like, third person omniscient.
Okay, because you know.
You get other things other than just
Eleanor's
perspective. But she's had, like, a really crappy life. Like, she's got a twin sister, right? A twin sister?
Is that right?
I think they're twins.
But a sister, regardless.
A sister. Her sister married. And so their dad died really young in some, like, nefarious way. And the doctor calls on her because she's had paranormal experiences before. Yeah. Because there was, like, rocks that kept, like, raining down on their house when she was a kid, and their mom moved and, like, lied to them and were like, oh, it's just the neighbors throwing rocks or whatever. So Eleanor was like, I've never experienced paranormal things before.
Yeah.
But at the end of her life, Eleanor took care of her mom.
Yeah.
And her sister had, like, a husband and kids and, like, moved away and is kind of a bitch.
But Eleanor had a very, like, kind of reclusive life.
Mm-hmm. She just stayed at home and took care of her mom. She didn't go out. She didn't have her own space. You could tell, just wanted, not necessarily like an adventure, but just something.
Yeah, and this was kind of bringing meaning to her life a bit, and she just...
Someone needs me.
Yeah, even, like, the taking of the car was a big thing, because, like, it wasn't her car, it was her mom's car, I think, or they shared the car. They shared the car, and her sister's like, oh, you're really gonna...
I'm sorry, but I might need this car. Yeah. Like, her sister's a bitch, I'm sorry. Yeah,
and Eleanor's just like, let me have this, like, let me just do this
one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she just takes off, and is like, well... Bye.
Yeah. And then Theo is chosen, if I remember correctly, because she passed a psychic test or something like that.
She's been able to... by passing a psychic test, she, like, was able to guess the right card in a card game a certain amount of times.
Yeah.
So some form of, like...
I don't know about that, but I think her ability in the show is way cooler. But... That was interesting. And then, so then they
forgot about her ability.
Yeah.
That's why she always wears gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just cool. Like, if you haven't seen it, I just like the way that she always wears leather gloves, and I thought maybe I could be that kind of person. But then I realized...
In California?
But I was also, like, the practicality of it. I'd be so frustrated, like, oh, I want to eat this burger, and then you have to, like, take off your leather gloves.
Every time you go to the bathroom.
Yeah. There'd be so much bacteria in there after a while if that's what you're wearing all the time.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into...
Gross. Science again. Yes. So you get a lot of Eleanor and how she's feeling on the drive up and how she stops in the town on the way to Hill House. And Hill House, she's been advised by the doctor to, like, don't stop in town. People are going to be jerks to you. And they were real weird.
Yeah. She stopped at, like, a diner or something, and they were not the friendliest.
Not very
bunch.
Friendly.
Yeah. The house itself is definitely its own character, and I might be jumping around a bit because it's been a little bit since I read it. Mine's not going to go in perfect chronological order, but I remember scenes where the house is really calling out to Eleanor a whole lot, you know, through writing the name on, like, in blood, and pretty much it says, like,
and chalk.
And
let Eleanor come home, is what it said.
Or it was like, Eleanor. Yeah, something about Eleanor come home. Mm-hmm. And it's really ambiguous because whether Eleanor kind of has her inner monologue thinking, like, is this the, like, guilt because her mom died. Like, Eleanor, come home. Like, leave this house and come home to go take care of your mom. Or if it's the house saying, come home. Like, this is home now. Like, we're going to take you over, essentially. And
well, and the... And this is... You could refute this completely. In the series, you've got, like, parallel times. Like, you've got... I don't want to spoil the series, so I'm not going to say it because it's totally different. But essentially, because of those parallel times, do we know that the house was haunted because of Eleanor? Or, like, is
time
it...
Time is a construct.
Yeah, time is a construct. Is that why it's Eleanor coming home? Because, like, Eleanor is already trapped there. So, like, this whole being at Hill House thing is devised to get her to stay at Hill House.
Well, within the context of the book, that's definitely possible, so I'm not going to 100% refute it, but I got more of the sense of the house is not, like, a person. Like, you know how sometimes you read haunted house stories and they see a woman that's, like...
Yeah, there's no personified ghost in this house at all.
I think the house itself... is haunted, and maybe that is, maybe that's the first time I've actually seen that in, like, a terror slash horror type of book or any kind of medium, is where I got the sense that the house itself was malicious and not a haunting with a specific demon or ghost, and I think that was very intriguing to me as well. So maybe it's Eleanor from a different timeline, you know, or, like...
Or the companion.
Jeremy Barry.
Who's already dead.
but I think I like to interpret it more as the house is just trying to take on souls because the house itself is its own entity.
I love and hated the doctor's wife. She comes in with this Arthur guy, whoever the hell Arthur is. It's, like, some neighbor who's a principal, like a headmaster at a school. Those things also made me think that this book takes place in England. Little words here and there. I was like...
Headmaster.
I don't even think in the 1950s we would have said that about schools. Maybe in the, maybe on the East Coast. It could be an East Coast book. They're very ambiguous about where this takes place. But when they show up... So our main characters, the Doctor, Luke, Eleanor, and Theo, have been in Hill House for almost about a week by the time the doctor's wife shows up. And she's just like, oh, well, I'm going to look for souls, and I know everything. And is really obnoxious. But she gets this super creepy message that's like, oh, you know, just keep saying Eleanor, 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 home, home, home. And of course, she's thinking like, I don't know, I'm just this clairvoyant, and people are talking through my planchette or planchette or whatever the hell that is.
Whereas Eleanor's like, no, they've been writing this on the wall, so you're not...
Here's the deal also. Because we get more of Eleanor's perspective, I didn't like Theo and Luke most of the time. Because at first, when they first get to the house, Theo is like her person. Like, we're these long-lost sisters who met, who just met, and it's so wonderful.
They have such an interesting relationship in that beginning part.
And it's a lot very fast. And you can tell that, like, Theo's just a super open person, and that Eleanor is starving for human connection.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, they're best friends, and they've known each other for 5 minutes. Cool. Okay. But throughout the book, it seems like the house is trying to alienate Eleanor from everyone else. Like, the house has singled her out as, like, you're the soul I'm going to take. And everything is directed toward where she is. It doesn't seem like any of the creepy stuff is happening to anyone else alone.
Yeah.
Unless I'm misremembering. Like, even it's Theo's clothes that have all the blood and stuff on them. But that's just another step to be able to, like, alienate Eleanor from Theo.
Yeah. No, it's true. You know, and Eleanor, if I remember correctly, too, like, she has these inner monologues that are very stream of consciousness.
And sometimes they're like, oh, I love Luke, and oh, I love Theo, and other times it's just like, I want to kill her. I just want to kill her.
Yeah, and interesting about the house was, you know, it was like, the more the house called to her, the more she felt like she was gaining that human interaction, you know, like... You know, first she was, like you said, starving for attention, and Theo was kind of filling that void. But then all of a sudden it switched and the house was calling to her and she's like, haha, I'm the only one who could see these things. Mm-hmm. And I,
she's like, very special.
Yeah. And it becomes, very, I don't know what the right words are, but like interesting and, yeah, that she is finding this attention positive when I think if I was in that situation, I'd be like, peace, bye. My name's on the wall, out bye. Of here.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Or super suspicious. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Luke just walked into a hall and came back and my name is on the wall. Like, Luke, why'd you write my name on the wall?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just like really skeptical. Or knowing me, I wouldn't have gone to a goddamn haunted house in the first place. So I guess this is out.
Actually, that's
I will make okay. my friends somewhere else. I am not going to a haunted
oh,
house.
Oh, man.
No, thank you. I mean, I think I would do one of those like haunted LA tours in a huge group that takes place like during the daytime.
Yeah.
But I, no, yeah. I'm not doing it. But yes, no, Eleanor wanted to feel special. You could tell that Luke and Theo didn't need that. They
yeah.
both had fulfilling, you know, interpersonal relationships with other people. They didn't need to feel special.
Yeah.
Eleanor needed that because it seemed like even her relationship, like she was needed by her mother, but she probably was not appreciated or there was no like warmth there.
Yeah.
So you can understand why being drawn to feeling special would be a thing. There are some super, super weird parts of Eleanor. Like, at one point in time, she was trying to be dismissive because of her age. And she was like, oh, well, you know, why would someone think that I'm young? I'm 34. And immediately after that, she's like, I don't know why I just added 2 years to my age. Like,
yeah.
What? I don't understand these things. And maybe yeah. that's part of, like, why Stephen King is so impressed with a book like this, because it's little nuggets like that that humanize and also pair with this like supernatural edge so well.
I think Shirley Jackson did a great job of character development in mm-hmm. Eleanor, and not so much in other ones, just because this is the person that the book is focused on. You still understand more and more about like Theo and Luke, or at least understand their part in all of this,
yeah.
And how they relate to each other. But you're right, there was some really brilliant little moments of the writing where you're like, wow, like I never would have thought to, because most of the time when you're reading books, it's like, and then she thought this, mm-hmm. and
this
whatever.
Goes places that yeah. I would never have thought of.
And Eleanor is a great character to be placed in a haunted house, you know?
Someone who's so self-conscious and needs to be loved and wanted.
Yeah.
There's one scene that I read 3 times because I still didn't quite understand it, where it's after the blood incident. So Theo is staying in Eleanor's room,
mm-hmm.
and she's describing holding her hand and like she's right next to her, and all of these things are happening in her dreams, and it's scary, scary, or maybe there was like more banging, but it was in her dreams. And then she woke up with a start, or she screamed with a start because she thought something was happening. And then Theo, on like the other side of the bed, jumped and was like, what's going on? And she says the line, like, whose hand was I holding? And
yeah.
I was like, wait, I need to go back and read that again, because like she does talk about holding a hand, but I don't remember there ever being like someone squeezing back. So I don't know if she was like just in this twilight sleep
yeah.
of, because the only person to have died at the house was that companion, right?
Yes.
So it's no secret that near the end of the book, so the companion hanged herself
mm-hmm.
off of, I should specify, for those of you who haven't read, this would be very confusing. I don't know why you're listening to this. But the original owner of the house, the builder's daughter, had a companion that lived with her and who ultimately got, I almost said custody, oh my god, that was willed the house.
Yeah.
Got so...
Hey, if the house is an entity,
got so much grief for being there, or the house just got in her head, and she hanged herself off of, like, this turret, or
mm-hmm.
some kind of, like, tower. So sometime near the end of the book, Eleanor, just at night, is hiding from the other character. She's like, yeah. They can't find me.
And
like,
she's gotten loopy.
They're chasing
me
all over the house. And she is, yes, loopy is a way to say that.
Yeah.
So she starts making her way up to this turret, like up to this tower. And everyone else is so pissed when they see her. They're like, those steps, they're like rotting. You're going to fall. You're going to kill yourself. Like, we're going to kill ourselves if we go up there to try and help you.
I totally forgot about this part. You're
reminding me. She's just trying the trap door, and she keeps trying it, and she's like, it's not working. And they're like, yes, it's nailed shut for a reason, because this woman killed herself. Like, come back down. And eventually, like, Luke comes up and tries to help her come down and, like, let's go single file. And she's super bitter about this one time on a walk where Theo and Luke ditched her, which that was shitty. They shouldn't have done that. But so bitter about it that she's like, well, last time you were following me and you said you would follow, you didn't. And you left. And he's like, I'm gonna follow. Yeah, like, I need to get down from
being
here.
Being super childish in that moment. You know?
And you could tell just how dysfunctional all of her relationships are with people based on how petty she gets about stuff. And granted, Theo does the same thing. Like, at one point in time, I think it's when it is the blood. Maybe it's the chalk. It's not the blood. It's the chalk. The chalk comes before the blood. And Theo says something. Eleanor's freaking out and is like, you wrote it. You wrote it. And she's accusing everybody. And Theo was like, well, maybe you just wrote it for some attention. You wrote it yourself. And at the end of that scene, Eleanor says, like, oh, well, it's so good that you made me angry to get me out of my... Like, you did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And then to herself, Eleanor is like, I know that she didn't do it on purpose. You're like, what is happening here? There are, like, three different perspectives that you're taking, and we're seeing them all.
Yeah. Which is very interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what else is interesting?
Mm.
Sponsors.
Ah.
We'll be right back.
Enjoy.
Well, I'm glad you reminded me of that scene, because I totally... did not remember that, or I think I was just getting, you know, mixed up between the show and stuff. But
there aren't a lot of parallels, but I could imagine how that scene would make you feel that way. I was a little disappointed, if we're going a little bit on our compare and contrast. I hoped, as far as character development goes, and granted, this is a short book.
Yeah.
It probably took me 2 hours to read the whole thing. It's like 200 pages.
Yeah.
And it's 200 of easy reading pages.
Yeah. It's not small type, it's... Yeah.
No. It's a really, really... And I listened to a number of it. I read it when I was at home and at school, but on my trips back and forth, I would listen to it. I was disappointed that the Dudleys didn't have...
Very small role. I'm really...
It was really
Dudley.
Small, and for someone who... So they avoid the house at nighttime. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing, like, we don't do this at night, we're not going to be here. But they had a good reason in the show... The Dudleys, for working at the house.
Yeah.
And again, if you haven't seen the show, it would be a spoiler for me to say it, so keep that in mind. But, like, they had a reason to be at the house in the show, and it just seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like this whole town is just, like, bitter jerks who can't hang with the wealth and opulence and odd angles of Hill House and just need to drink some more brandy. Also, we should have had brandy today, but we had brandy last time, and I just can't do it.
That's fair.
There's so much brandy in this book. Luke and his brandy.
There was also interesting, I remember in part of the book, I think maybe it was outside the nursery, if you remember, where there was the cold patch.
Yeah.
Where it was like, and then they tried to use thermometers, and they couldn't read it, but like, you would, you know, stand in it or stick your hand in it. It was just ice cold. And I thought, that's kind of... like, you know, the cold drafts and things like that are kind of like cliches or tropey of haunted house. But I liked that, you know, being the scientific doctor, they were trying to do, like, you know, the temperature things and stuff
at
like
the end. The cold patch went away.
Yeah.
So, like, Mrs. Montague, I don't remember her dumb name, I don't like her. She is staying in the nursery, and Arthur is, like, staying awake and, like, polishing his rifle. And as soon as they get there, the rest of the crowd are like, oh my god, he's gonna kill somebody. Like, I think they already realized that it's not the house. Something, a ghost has never hurt a person.
Mm-hmm.
But people around ghosts can hurt themselves and hurt others. So they're like, oh crap, he's bringing this, you know, weapon into the house.
got some howling in the
back. Some howling outside. Maybe it would be way more creepy if they weren't like little terriers. But so happy that they're all doing this at once, just for you guys. But it, I don't know. I think it was so funny that before her arrival, they had experienced, Theo and, Nellie had experienced the lead pipe essentially like banging on the door while both of the guys had been like drawn outside because of like a dog or something. So essentially the house was trying to separate them.
They came right at the right time, the barking.
There you go. So the house was trying to separate them. So they had that happen. Then they had the chalk thing happen. Then they had the blood thing happen. And as soon as the doctor's wife and her odd companion, I still don't understand where that came from, but as soon as they got there, they were immediately called, the original party, so we're talking like Luke and the doctor and Theo and Nellie, she gave them crap and was like, why are you so skeptical? Why won't you believe my planchette and please at me? Because I do not know how to say that word.
Send us a voice.
But I know that it's similar to a Ouija board because I looked it up. Pronounce it for us, please. But they're being called the skeptics even though they're living through all of this paranormal weirdo stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't like her, but I loved her disruption.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. And then Eleanor and Theo's relationship, because Theodora, we don't really know like if she is gay or if she is straight. Like, there's, you know, talk about her friend, but kind of in the referenced way where
super ambiguous.
Yeah, where you're like, friend. And then even the way she talks to Eleanor, you're kind of like, sometimes, because sometimes they're sisterly and then sometimes you think they're flirty and then
sometimes she's a bitch.
Yeah, and sometimes she doesn't want anything to do with Eleanor. Yeah. So
when Eleanor's like, let me come home with you, and she's just like, no. No, I'm not doing that. Like, our relationship is Hill House and that's it. What happens in Hill House stays in Hill House.
Yeah.
And no. And you could tell from the moment Eleanor meets Luke, she's got, and I gotta figure out if this is it an allusion to something else, the Journey's End in Lover's Meeting. Is that an illusion for something else? I feel like I'm going to look it up. Because every single time, not every single time, all of the time when she's like hanging out with Luke or the first time she sees him, she's like, oh, Journey's End and Lover's Meeting.
Yeah.
And then at one point at the end, he says it. So it's like, is this just a reference that everybody understands? Or did she say it out loud a couple of times and he's like mocking her now?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's see. Journey Ends and Lover's Meeting is a quotation from Shakespeare, I believe. Well, wonderful. It's a Shakespeare's quote. Let's see from what? Journey's End and Lover's Meeting from Twelfth Night. Act 2, Scene 3. I don't know how many acts there are. Maybe that's the end. Thanks, Shakespeare. I really could have just looked it up before. Didn't need to take up so much airtime with that.
No, that's totally fine. I was looking up, I know I'm jumping way back now, but I kind of want to jump to the ending a little bit.
Sure.
So obviously, spoilers, but you should have read this book if you're listening to the podcast. The ending was very interesting to me. And I wanted to, I was just looking up in the book to see
if the whole ending of the book or like the penultimate ending, like what part?
For me, it was like the ending where Eleanor's driving away from Hill House.
Got it.
Because I did not see that coming. And I want to...
I feel like we should have.
Yeah.
Only because Mrs. Montague is like, have Arthur Driver. Have Arthur Driver. Have Arthur Driver.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe that was like a sense or like whatever.
Well, she's clairvoyant, obviously.
Yeah. So I just wanted to look up what was going through Eleanor's head during that time because I didn't quite remember. And so she, like, in her head, she's thinking, they will watch me down the driveway as far as they can see. She thought, you know, it's only civil for them to look at me until I'm out of sight.
Notice me.
Yeah. And then she's like, but I won't go, she thought, and laughed aloud to herself. Hill House is not as easy as they are. Just by telling me to go away, they can't make me leave. Because they're telling Eleanor to go, and not if Hill House means me to stay.
She was up at the turret the day before. They're like, girl, you gotta bounce. Bye. Yeah.
And so, you know, all that, I can hear them calling now, she thought, in the little footsteps running through Hill House, the soft sound of the hills pressing closer. I am really doing it, she thought, turning the wheel to send the car directly at the great tree at the curve of the driveway. I'm really doing it. I'm doing this all by myself now, at last. This is me. I am really, really, really doing it by myself. And that kind of, like, for me, what reading that was...
Spiraling, this girl's...
Spiraling, but also, like, to the point where, one, you question, is this Hill... Like, in that specific paragraph, mm-hmm. is that Hill House having control over her, or is this her being, after so much time not feeling loved or accepted or whatever, that spending time in this crazy haunted house that was quote-unquote accepting of her, she's like, I'm staying, like, well, you can't make me leave.
You didn't read the very last part of that paragraph, so I will take over. Go from for where it. You left off, because it completely 360s. It says, in the unending,
yeah,
crashing seconds before the car hurled into the tree, she thought clearly, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why don't they stop me? So it seems like she is realizing, like, oh, this is finite. I can't turn back from this. But I can't tell if she really just wanted them to say, no, 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 Eleanor, don't stop. Don't do yeah. it. Which they did the night before when she was climbing her way up.
Yeah.
Whether or not she was going to self-harm, I don't know. Probably? I think if the house needs to trap a soul,
yeah.
they're going to try and get the inhabitants to do away with themselves, it seems.
Yeah. I guess that's, yeah. I mean, that's surely how... Surely. How the film and, like, TV adaptations yeah. take it, but I couldn't get a clear grasp on it through the book. We don't
so
really know.
So did she... Was she seeking the intent... Was she seeking the finality of staying in the house and not having to leave? Because we finally learn, right before this, that her and Theo have been talking about their respective homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems like it's sometimes not just to Theo, where she's talking about how her apartment, she needs to have just the right couch, just the right furniture, because she's the only one that lives there, so it has to be just right. She finally comes out at the end and is like, I don't have my own house. I live on a cot in my sister's place. I literally have nothing to go back to. So I think it's desperation. It's seeking attention. It's acute psychosis from being in a haunted house. It's got to be layers of all of those things yeah. that are causing this to happen. Oh, man. Don't go to haunted houses.
If you want to take a quick tangential
trip
with
that.
Me,
yes, thank you.
I just wanted, so there's many haunted houses out there. There's many stories and stuff, but yes. I just thought it would be fun in this episode to do a quick aside and talk about one specific haunted place that
okay.
is very haunted. And you may have heard of it. It's quite common and now has a different name, but it's called Hotel Cecil.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I know many, many things about this hotel.
So okay. it's the most cursed, haunted thing mm-hmm. downtown LA.
Yep.
So that's why I chose it, because it's around here. Because I was looking through, I was like, which one has cool stories? I was like, well, this one has a ton of stories. And you can always jump in and add to whatever. But it's...
I can think of one big one that was within the last 10 years. So,
and yeah, okay. I know which one. And you yeah. can definitely talk about that one. So I guess now it changed its name to Stay on Main.
So it's on Main Street downtown?
Yeah.
Got it. I thought it was on Broadway. All right, Main. Cool.
Well, it's called Stay on Main.
It's probably
so.
On Main Street.
So you've probably already heard of it if you are into any haunted things at all.
If
because...
you watch American Horror Story,
yeah.
that is what the hotel season was based on, was Hotel Cecil.
And I guess there's a bit of controversy amongst, like, gung-ho people in terms of, is it haunted or is it cursed? And I'm like,
I feel like
yeah,
that's semantics.
I'm like, I don't really know. So basically at some point in the 30s,
so that's like an Art Deco hotel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been a lot of deaths ranging from, like, the early 1930s, 1940s, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's stories of, and I'm just going to jump through some of these quickly and then we'll get to the one, because
yeah.
that's probably one of the most
so
famous
creepy.
Ones.
Yeah.
But at some point there was, that one I forgot about. A woman murdered her newborn in the building and then she committed suicide.
In one of the rooms?
Yeah, in one of the most haunted rooms. And there was also a woman who jumped out of a window and killed her and a pedestrian. There's just a lot of bad stuff about
that. You really think about that with people jumping off of buildings, of who they're smooshing.
Yeah, who they're smooshing. Who are they gonna smoosh? Or if it causes a car accident. Yeah. You don't know. You might be causing a lot more harm than just to yourself. I mean, you already are, yeah, but yeah. Anyways. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, the infamous serial killer Richard Ramirez, known as the Night Stalker, stayed at the hotel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, ooh. That was a big one.
Okay.
And then in the 1990s, Austrian serial killer Jack Unterwisch lived there. And so they have had a couple of serial killers stay at the hotel.
No big deal. Richard Ramirez, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, is the scariest serial killer only because he had no profile.
Yeah.
Like, it was so indiscriminate. But this is not a true crime podcast.
No.
But Richard Ramirez is really scary.
But I think the one you were referring to was Lamb, was Elisa Lamb.
Elisa Lamb. Oh, man. You can watch footage.
Creepy. I've seen
from
it,
yeah. This. So Elisa Lamb was visiting L.A., right? She was like, yeah, a tourist here. She was staying in the Cecil Hotel. And there is crazy elevator footage, oh, yeah, of her acting incredibly erratically. She's stepping out into the hall and back into the elevator, peering out and going back in, and yeah, for tons and tons of time. And then ultimately she disappears. And they find her, I want to say weeks later. It was quite a bit of time that they found her. Whoa. On the...
But you know why they found her? Was because of the funky taste of the water.
The water tasted weird. Yeah. So in the showers, the water, everyone was like, this water is messed up. Something's wrong with it. They go up to look in the... They peer in the water tank and her body is there. Completely nude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Completely nude inside the water tank on the roof. And it's one of those things. There's no ladder. There is no nothing. And she was sealed in. So it... Something had to have put her in there. She could not have just placed herself in and then sealed it up and then moved the ladder from the outside. So either really, really awesome murder job, whoever did it, or girl had some problems and was possessed by something weird in this hotel. Yeah. And generally, like, I'm touch and go when it comes to, like, believing paranormal stories, just because we've talked about this before. I don't remember the other ghost story that we read, but there was another one with ghosts, right? Where you told me about your friend, her house ghost. Yeah. I've never had anything like that. So I'm like, it's probably just a really crafty serial killer.
Yeah.
But it could be the hotel. A bunch of stuff has happened here.
Yeah, crazy stuff. And like, there, like, a lot of reported, like, hauntings and things like that. But then also, the fact that a hotel has housed two serial killers, like, I don't know what the statistics are on, like, I mean, probably every I don't know if I'd say every hotel. A lot of hotels have housed murderers at some point. Like, it's just,
I mean,
you know,
there are a lot of murders we probably don't know of. There's so many unsolved murders, and they were probably all done by women because women are very sneaky and crafty.
They're the ones who don't get
caught. We're not getting caught. I shouldn't add myself to that. Wait,
watch out for us. Wow. Okay. I guess
it's a really good martini, Taylor.
Oh, man. Anyways, that was my little tangent. I wanted to throw in a real haunted house.
Would you be willing, for science, to go... Do they have a bar there?
Probably.
Would you be willing to... Do you think they would let us record there?
That would be interesting.
I'm just thinking. That could be fun. Maybe the bartender could tell us some stories.
Ooh,
we could record.
I mean, if we could swing some cocktails. I think that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be really cool.
Okay, let's look into it. Okay. I would be down for that. I thought at first we'd be like, would you stay at a known haunted place?
Well, no, I don't want to stay there.
No.
But we can drink a cocktail there.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll get trapped forever.
We don't know.
In American Horror Story, if you die in the hotel, you can't ever leave the hotel. Well, people get stuck there. Lady Gaga was in it.
I know. That was not... I'll be honest.
It was not a good season. Not a great season.
No.
I still haven't caught up on this one. So if it's good, you know, let me know.
Yeah.
Because the 80s were cool, I guess. Coven's the best one. If we're talking about that.
I mean, to be honest, what is it? The first three? It's Coven, Haunted House, or Murder House.
Ooh. Coven was the one in New Orleans. Yeah. One, two, and three. Yeah. Winners. Yeah, that's true. Although, Asylum kind of... Again, tangential. Asylum kind of took a downturn as soon as they brought in aliens, then I stopped caring.
Yeah.
I don't care about aliens. But I feel that way about I love, and you should check out, if you like true crime, check out Last Podcast on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
They're It's funny. It's well researched. If you're okay with humor in your true crime, which I am. I feel like I need it in my true crime or I can't handle it. But as soon as they do an alien episode, like, skip. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I'm not interested in that.
Another one, since we're doing little plugs right now, sorry for this long aside, but, like, it's all kind of Haunted House related. Yeah. And to be honest,
if you liked this book, you would like all this information.
To be honest, this is quite a short book, and we've covered a lot of it, unless there's any, like, specific scenes that you found really interesting. But another podcast that I like is, I'm going to shout them out. It's not my favorite name. It's Two Girls, One Ghost. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job, too. It's the same, though. I like a lot
of them. Is there all paranormal?
No. Okay. So they do true crime as well as a lot of paranormal. So they'll do things like skinwalkers and even, you know, just different.
Chupacabra.
Yeah, like all different weird paranormal stuff. But anytime, like, it comes to an alien episode, it's just...
It's just not my thing. I'm totally cool with the idea that we are not alone in the universe. If our planet was able to evolve in the way that we did and life forms are as they are now, the universe is just unfathomably huge. There's probably aliens. But that doesn't affect my life on a daily basis, so I don't care.
Yeah. Whereas, like, paranormal activity, you don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. No, I'm definitely more I'm more convinced of that, about that.
But back to The Haunting of Hill House, I think, I'm not, like, every time you see something, like, oh, now I remember that, but, those were the main things that really stuck out to me. I really want to actually read, because I've heard good things about We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson.
Is it also a creepy, kooky story?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one that I'm interested reading.
If it's like this, I can handle it. I am kind of scared that I'm gonna get too scared reading a book, because it's like when you're watching it on a screen, you're given the images.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Your imagination can be a much scarier place
for sure. Have you read any Stephen King?
Because I've not, but my husband in the other room, our bookcase has, I think we have like 10 Stephen King books. I'd probably choose the shortest one first. I think The Mist is the shortest one that we have right now. It's very, very long. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid of clowns, but I know that Pennywise can shapeshift.
Yeah.
So maybe I would be scared of it.
Did you see the original
I've It? Never seen any of the Its. I've never, ever, ever seen any of the Its. So it could be really, really scary. I don't know. I feel like I'd be willing. You hear our crazy sound effects now?
Yeah, it's Haunted House.
My creaking door. I'm not opposed to reading that, and I feel like I would read something else by Shirley Jackson because I wasn't just terrifyingly, you know, frightened the whole time.
Yeah, again, it's definitely more of like a psychological thriller than it is a jump scare type of book.
And I'm down with that. I can do that. That's why I can handle serial killers, especially if it's already happened.
I can handle serial killers.
Oh my gosh, I saw a meme today that was there's always these memes with like the introvert girl.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're definitely familiar Introverted with it.
Introverted doodles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a whole little calendar of hers.
So she's having a conversation at a party. And she's got a pair of symbols in her hand. And in the first cell, it just says, it's just her and the symbols. And the next one, they're moving closer, and it says, Ted Bundy fun fact coming.
Yeah.
And she's walking in the middle of a group of people and just, like, slams the symbols down.
That's a great
like,
one.
Like, yeah, no, that's, I feel like that's something that I would do. Let's see how people will stop talking to me.
I saw a meme the other day that was, when you're reading a book, you're essentially staring at dead trees and hallucinating.
That's really good. If it wasn't so verbose, I'd like get it tattooed on my forearm. Oh, that's a good one.
We could probably shorten that down. We probably work.
I love dead trees and imagination.
But I loved the way it was. You're essentially staring at dead trees and hallucinating. Any closing thoughts before we rate?
I had a really interesting time reading this book because I went through relationships with people where I like. I found Theo so charming at first, but because we get so much of her from Eleanor, I was like, she's so mean. She's so vindictive.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love a good quick read that can, I mean, we had plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm all about that, especially if it's only going to take me two and a half hours to read it. Cool.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Read more books if they're all shorter.
Yeah, authors, get on it.
Hello.
I can read more books if you didn't take so long to get to your point. So I'll rate the cocktail this time.
Okay.
If you want to rate the book.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to do the cocktail out of 100 ghosts.
100 ghosts.
Out of 100.
And what are you rating a cocktail out of 100 ghosts?
I'm going to, you know what? I'm giving it 99 ghosts.
It's real good.
I'm really liking it.
Yeah.
I think the only reason I won't give it a full 100 is because I couldn't have too many of these because of the sugar.
Then you'll be a ghost.
Then I'll be a ghost.
We could make it with less sugar.
I know. But, like, I also feel like, I don't know.
One of these is probably enough, no matter what.
But it's delicious, and it's gin, so you know us.
Gin and citrus with, like, a botanical attached
to it.
You can't really hate on it that much. I can't give it 100 only because I don't know what 100 cocktail would be. Like, what is the perfect cocktail?
I think we'd have to take a sip and just, like, not be able to stop, and that's what I would give a perfect score. You know, it'd be done within 5 minutes.
Because I can give this, like, a 90, 98, 99. The only thing that would make it better might just be more gin. Like, not necessarily as
fun. I love that. Just sweeping statement. You know what would make this better? More gin.
That's the tattoo.
More gin.
More gin? Question mark. I think that only the more gin would be better in this because that would bring down. I was thinking, like, the reason there's so much simple in there is because I didn't want the lime to be too tart.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was more gin, the balance would still be there between the sweet and the tart, but it would be less sweet because there would be more gin. I don't know. Maybe a different gin. I liked this gin, though.
I did like this gin.
But yeah, I'm going to give it 98 little ghosties.
Okay.
We're not counting Eleanor. She'd be a dumb ghost. So needy. She would be the one banging on the walls.
Let me in! I just want to hold
friends.
Your hand!
I just want to be friends with you!
Maybe it was her haunting the house, because she's like, I just want to hold your hand!
She's so
Listen
needy.
To me!
The Beatles haven't even come out yet! Alright, okay, so we're rating the book. I'm going to rate the book out of 85 degrees, because that's how I'm picturing the corners of the rooms being.
Gotcha.
Like, not quite that 90 degree corner, just
all
like
askew, a little bit.
Slightly askew. So out of 85 degrees in that angle, I'm gonna give it 78 degrees. Only because I really did like it.
I wish I had done it out of 100 degrees, because you could get it 98 degrees.
And I know.
The band.
Yeah,
anyway,
nice.
Sorry, go on.
No. I thought that as soon as I said 78 degrees.
That's
So, 78 degrees is a really nice temperature, but not exactly where you would want your wall and your ceiling to meet. Would feel very awkward. There were so many wonderful things about this story. I love that it didn't keep me up at night, but it still kind of kept me guessing, and I didn't really know all of the characters all the time. I feel like I could recommend this book to another person, mostly because, like, it's 230 pages. It's going to take you no time. Even if you don't like things that are scary, it's not that kind of scary, so it's something that you could really recommend to other people. I don't know if I'd ever have to read it again, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I would watch the series again.
100%.
But I don't think that I would read the book again. I liked it, but I wouldn't read it again.
Out of 85 degrees, I think I'm going to give it 80. I think I would read it again. I don't think I'll read it again soon.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to guess, in a few years' time, when I've forgotten even more of the plot, I would totally pick it up again, because I remember enjoying it. It was creepy enough, like you said, didn't keep you up at night, but really made you psychologically, like, on the edge. And I do enjoy, like, scary movies. I'm not into gore. Like, I don't like torture for torture's sake.
Like,
things
Saw
like that.
Kind of movies.
Yeah, Saw, yeah. Hostel, even though I've seen that one. Human Centipede, all those.
Ugh.
But I do like psychological thrillers, you know.
That's what this was more of.
Yeah. And so I could see myself reading this again. I could definitely see myself telling people to read this one. Like you said, it's a quick read.
It's interesting, kept me engaged the whole time, thought it was interesting character development, and I think it's different enough from the series where I wouldn't, like, you know, sometimes you know people who have either, who, like, have watched it, and they're like, oh, maybe I'll read the book now, and, like, you knowing that personality, you're like, oh, I wouldn't recommend it because you know the plot, kind of, whatever.
Sure.
This one, they're so different.
It's not like Harry Potter.
I like, yeah.
Just watch
it. Like, I like the compare-contrast because mm-hmm. they are so different with similar elements. Even, like, within the series, you find out pretty fast that one of the brothers wrote a book, you know, called The Haunting of Hill House. And so even, like, you know, playing with that kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. I'll give it 80.
All right. 80 degrees.
Yeah.
Well.
So coming up next, November book, we definitely have Harry Potter.
The Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, slotted. Philosopher's Stone, whatever you want to call it. We're still figuring out the next one, but you'll see an Instagram post on that. So you
we
can
promise it won't be another romance. We'll give you some time before it's another romance.
yeah, there might be one in December. So maybe. You can keep updated on all that fun stuff at DPS_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We'll let you know which books are upcoming.
And if you have any suggestions, feel free to DM us there. We're talking cocktails, books, whatever you do. We also can get email, you know, in 2019, at drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
And you can also leave us voice messages. So we don't have one for this episode.
We don't have one.
So that's real sad. Don't make us sad again. Aww. Leave us a voice message. It can be anything. It could be your review of the previous book. It could be a suggestion for future cocktails or books. It could just be you saying hello, and we will shout you out if you would like. If you don't want to be shouted out, we won't. Just let us know.
We're still going to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. We'll still listen to it. If you're sending us a voice message, we're going to listen to it.
Yeah.
And other than that, thanks for joining us for Spooktober. We
hope it was spooky for you.
Yes. We'll see you next month. And remember that it is not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
Bye.
Bye.